Welcome, dear ones, to our midweek church service on this very first Wednesday of August 2023. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the services, recording or on the phone or here in the room, and glad to have you in fellowship with us once again. Our dear brother James has had to find part-time work, and the only job that was near his home was one in which forced him to work on this particular time of the week. So we haven't heard how he's doing on it. He's laying fences or putting fences up for a particular company. And we'll find out more Friday when he's here. But praise God, he was able to find work close to his home. He didn't have to move to a different area or have to commute very far. So that is a blessing for him. Big hugs. Welcome also to another day closer to heaven, another time in which we can come apart and to worship our God from whom all blessings flows. And I pray the first part of your week has been blessed and that the last part of the week will be blessed as well. Have one announcement, and that is for the next two Wednesdays, we're not going to be having a Wednesday midweek church service. It's unavoidable. I'm going to be in a place where the reception is very spotty, if at any, and so I will not be able to open up the room. My daughter's going to be with me, and she's the one that has been opening the rooms in my absence, so... but just for Wednesday, we're going to continue to have Friday and Sabbath services, of course. But just for the next two Wednesdays, there's not going to be any Wednesday meeting. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. I'll make an announcement on a Friday as well. So that's the one announcement. And the opening song that I've chosen for the service tonight is Live Out Thy Life Within Me. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou thyself the answer to all my questionings. Live out thy life within me. In all things have thy way. I, the transparent medium, thy glory to display. The temple has been yielded and purified of sin. Let thy Shekinah glory now shine forth from within, and all the earth keep silence henceforth thy silent, gentle servant, moved only as by thee. Amen. Its members every moment held subject to thy call, ready to have thee use them or not be used at all. held without restless longing, or strain, or stress, or fret, or chafings at thy dealings, or thoughts of vain regret.
But restful, calm, and pliant, from bend and bias free, awaiting thy decision, when thou hast need of me, live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. Be thou the glorious answer to all my questioning.
Amen. That should be our goal, to be completely pliant. Self is dead, transparent, and Jesus filling our hearts, that he alone may be revealed through us and glorified to others, and be able to live out his life within us. May that happen to each one of us today. And it's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, please be with us as we search and look for your love in the scriptures. It isn't a hard search because your love shines out everywhere in the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for this living history of humans on earth in the beginning of time. May we keep growing in knowledge and grace as we turn the pages in your holy word. Be with us this evening. Send the Holy Spirit to guide us, to open up our eyes and ears. And thank you, dear Lord, for doing this for us, for holding out the promise of eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. Well, Brother James took us up to Revelation chapter 22. We finished with chapter 1 last time. And he asked me not to continue with Revelation. He actually wants to finish chapter 22 on our Friday evening meetings. He's not sure how many Friday evenings it's going to take. But I gave him the go-ahead because we had just finished a particular chapter there in Prophets and Kings. So we can take a break, I guess, and allow Brother James to finish up Revelation chapter 22. So instead of going into Revelation, I figured we could open this particular meeting up for testimonies, for songs, for praises, for anything that you'd like to share. And I'll go first. I have a praise the Lord for his merciful kindness and for the grace that he's enabled me and my wife and my mother and daughter and son to have in dealing with this situation with the website and the emails and all of that taking place. Lightministries.com is still offline. It's amazing how a domain can be taken captive, if you will, by the registrar and through one problem after another problem, prevented from being on the web. You would think, since I own the domain, that that could not happen, but it has happened. It's still happening. ever since June 15, the lightministries.com has been offline. And so here we are, the 2nd of August. So what is that? 30, 47 days. So, and climbing. But the Lord allowed another domain that I had, lettherebelightministries.com. That's online. But there's a problem with some of the server recognizing extra folders beyond just the main website files. And so that's kind of a work in progress. But at least the first part is online, lettherebelightministries.com. And I was also able to obtain ltblministries.com and secure that website or that domain. And so now you can type in ltblministries.com and be able to get the website as well. So instead of just having lightministries.com that isn't working, we now have lettherebelightministries.com and ltblministries.com. So you can type in those particular domains, the URLs, and you'll be able to see what is available at the website. And it's about 95% of the non-Adventist section of the website that's available. And the other 5% is the area of tracts and booklets that still has to be worked out. Still don't have an email connected with the website. We're working on it. And Lord willing, that will be up soon. I only have a temporary email, and that is ltblmin@outlook.com. So ltblmin@outlook.com. So Lord willing, maybe next week everything will be back to normal, which will be wonderful. So thank you for your prayers in that. God has given grace to remain patient, to keep frustration from taking hold and reacting in a wrong way. And God is good, dear ones. God is good. So again, thank you for your prayers in that. Are there any other testimonies or songs or praises that you'd like to give? Please go right ahead.
I would like to thank God for leading us into a new experience. We don't know what will happen, but we trust it is according to God's will. And it's kind of exciting to see where this road goes. And someday, I'm sure we'll be able to find out all of the workings that have been going on. But we know God is always the victor. And to be on God's side is to be on the winning side. And thank you for letting us know that, God, in the scriptures, it's talking about battles started, battles won, and God is always there on the winning side. And he has so many ways. Nature, he works through nature. We were studying about, I forget who it was that was asking God about which way to take and should they fight the battle. We were talking about that last week. And God gave him specific orders to go by some trees and to wait until he heard the noise in the trees and then to strike out. And God stirred up a whole bunch of hornets to go after the enemy. And the enemy ran like you wouldn't believe. Can you imagine a hornet nipping at your heels and biting you everywhere it can land on you? It's pretty bad. But a God that can control nature can certainly control everything. He is the creator of nature.
Yeah, amen. Excellent point. And how can you fight a hornet with a sword? You know, you might be able to hit him with a shield, but all he has to do is go up or around or below, and the shields are going to be defenseless against that. So God used the small things to overcome the mighty things. And God can do the very same thing today. Paul talks about God using the weak and the foolish things in the world to confound the wise and the strong. And God can do the same. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when we recognize we're not strong, we're weak, that we need help or we're gonna perish, that's when the strength of the Lord is the mightiest and brings the victory.
You know, if curtains had been invented back in those days, I guess they did have some draperies, but not anything, I don't know for sure, but the sheer curtains, the nets, could have provided some protection, but the army didn't have them. All they had was 2 feet to run on and run away from the hornets.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they could have grabbed the chariots and tried to get out there, but with the hornets probably stinging the horses as well, I doubt they would be very, very obedient to commands. But, it reveals how God has many different ways to obtain the victory, to defeat the enemy. But if David didn't listen to God's instructions, if he said, well, I know better, I've got a better plan than just waiting under mulberry trees, you know, for a sound in the top of the trees. The great victory over the Philistines at that time would not have occurred. So we have to take the time to go to God and seek his instructions, his wisdom. And no matter how simple it might appear, or perhaps even foolish, you know, to our understanding, it might appear, yet that is the wisest course. Who ever heard of drafting up plans to have hornets go out as your first attack force? You know, no general does that. But God controls more than just human beings. He controls animals, he controls insects, he controls the weather. So God has many different ways to accomplish the defeat of the enemies of his people than we could ever imagine. You know, there was one time that God, we haven't quite got to that part there in Prophets and Kings, but God instructed Israel to dig a whole bunch of trenches down in this valley, a whole bunch of pits. Well, you know, this, okay, so a pit, well, people can fall into it, or you can hide in it until the enemy's close enough you can shoot them, but that's certain death because more of the enemy's going to get you in a single hole than otherwise. But that's what Israel did. In obedience to God, they went out there and they dug a bunch of pits. And God said, in the morning, you're going to get the victory. Okay, so they waited until the morning. And what God caused to happen in the early morning hours is all those pits that the children of Israel had dug in that particular valley, God allowed to fill up with groundwater. And then when the sun came up in the morning, it was kind of a red sun, you know, red morning, sailor take warning type of thing. And the reflection of the reddish sun over the surface of the water made the enemies believe that the children of Israel had killed themselves and they were seeing blood out in the field. So they were joyful that they didn't have to fight, and they ran down there to get the spoil. And then, of course, the children of Israel came out from hiding and slaughtered them all. Well, what kind of human general would devise a plan like that? Hey, go out there and dig a bunch of ditches, you know, and we'll see what happens. But God caused to happen. And it's like with those hornets up in the mulberry trees. Were they created just at that moment in time? Were they, was there an abundance of food source for hornets at that time so that they just chose those particular mulberry trees to build their nests? You know, if they were created by God at that moment, these were super hornets. There was no way to stop them. They may have even been like the Japanese hornets. You know, they're about like that big, 2 to 3 inches. That would be a horrible sting. But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, just one bite from one of those, that'd take care of it. You'd be groaning and moaning and hopping around and trying to find some cool water, and your mind certainly wouldn't be on the battle, that's for sure.
No, it wouldn't. It would not. And if you get bit enough times, of course, the body goes into anaphylactic shock and you're dead. They didn't have epinephrine pens at that point in time. So it would be certain death if you got bit too many times with the hornets. But that just shows the wisdom, the ingenuity, the battle strategy that God has to defeat all the enemies of his people. And yet, we can only think of, okay, well, how many people go out to the front? Do we have some come in from the sides? Do we have some, you know, shoot down going back into that particular strategy plan? Do we have some at the top of hills or the top of trees to shoot arrows, you know? So there's only 4 or 5 different strategies you can really come up with. But God wasn't limited to the amount of strategies to bring defeat to his enemies. And it's the same God today. We just have to make sure that we don't believe our plans are the best plans. We need to submit all things to God and allow him to rule and overrule, alter, change, eliminate, you know, according to his perfect will and wisdom.
How about taking a trumpet to war? That was one of God's plans. How about marching around the walls of a city for so many days and hours and then yelling at the top of your voice? Very unorthodox ways to fight a war, but they worked.
Amen, that's true. And you know, you get individuals saying, well, you know, 2 million Israelites marching around the city, 13 times, you know, they went around one time for 6 days and the last day it was 7 times around. And then they blew their trumpets and shouted. Well, you know, all the feet of those millions, 4 million feet, you know, all those feet were just compacting the ground. And then and it weakened the structure of the walls. And then when they shouted like that, the vibration of sound caused the weakened foundation to crumble and the walls came down. But you know good and well that could never have occurred without God sending his angels to break down the walls. There's no way that natural forces could bring down the walls of Jericho. And even if natural forces could do so, the wall fell in such a way to make a rampart. It just didn't, you know, if the wall was 30 feet high, it just didn't go boom, and now you have a 12-foot high bunch of rubble that you can't climb over, you know? It fell, shoo, and that left a ramp, and they were able to go right up into the city. That was all divine power. It was miraculous. It was not natural.
I heard, this is in modern times, that when a troop is crossing a bridge, that they have to stop their marching in unison and just walk, because the action of unison marching across a bridge will cause it to collapse.
Yeah, it sets up a harmonic vibration that can shake it apart. And that's why most bridges, they're not precisely identical from side to side. There's variations to get rid of that harmonic vibration. A bridge was over in Washington over some gorge. I forget what it was. This is back in the 30s or 40s. And it was known as the swaying bridge because the greater the force of wind that would come through there, the bridge would begin undulating and going back and forth like that. And of course, if you're on the bridge, you're going for a ride. And so it became known as the swinging bridge or the undulating bridge or something like that. And then there was a very strong wind come through and they had to close the bridge, and they actually took a motion picture of what the bridge was doing. And it was going up 20 feet side to side, and then it finally couldn't take that pressure. And it just broke and collapsed down into the river below. So that's when they recognized that if they made the bridge identical side to side, you know, everything spot on the same, that it would just produce a harmonic vibration that would destroy the bridge. So they decided that they would they would make the bridge different dimensions from side to side, still keep, you know, the pattern of the bridge, but make it different so that there would not be that chance of a vibration destroying the bridge.
Wasn't there a nickname for that bridge called Galloping Gertie?
Yeah, I think you may be right. Washington State. I mean, you could probably look it up on Google.
Well, they showed, I saw it on TV. They showed that bridge before it collapsed with it undulating up and down and going from side to side. And it was impossible for cars to travel on that when it was like that. But wow, what a phenomenon.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Now, there's no way that 2 million Israelites could have put their feet in a harmonic unison all the way around Jericho. And so it shows you that it could not have been a natural force that brought down the walls. It was a supernatural force. But God does use simple things to accomplish his purpose. Same thing with healing. God uses simple remedies, simple herbs, simple water treatments to manifest his divine power in bringing about healing.
If God could speak to hornets and the hornets would listen to his voice, he could also speak to the individual dust particles in the earth. He created them after all. So everything listens to God, does his whatever he bids. What a God.
Yeah, amen. All creation does his bidding. It's only mankind that chose not to.
How sad. Such a sad thing. And some men think themselves so wise that they become the star of their own show, so to speak. And God is completely shut out. I don't think dust particles can shut God out, nor can hornets, but man can. And what a shame they have such an opportunity. What God promises for them that love God and spread the light. Eternal life, happiness, no crying, all positive things. But it takes faith. And it's not hard to have faith. You just have to walk with God.
Amen. Are there any other comments or testimonies, requests, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Yes, good evening, dear ones. Thanks to you. I'm very pleased to let you know that our reading at our African Zoom session with Jean and James did start today. And we had a very wonderful reading, and I believe people were touching in the different locations they were in, and everything went on smoothly without, disturbance by internet. And we appreciate that the working of the Lord, it was upon the reader who was taking us through, It says, the 10 essays we are going to go through, we've caught and prepared. It's still my humble appeal that the brethren in Nairobi, in Kenya, not only Nairobi, but in Kenya, need a lot of guidance from we people who have come to learn the truth of the fourth angel's message, and that as God's remnant church, we need to enlighten them in areas where they have not been read well. So that's why I invited the James and Sister Jean to come in and also put in their effort. It's not a small company, but so far two conferences in Kenya did separate from the main SDA church. Nairobi conference itself, and then one in Kisii where the Osoros and Isaac are. And now that Isaac and Naphtali are down there, 5 hours drive away from Nairobi, handling that conference that separated, it's not a small community, but a number of churches. Like we have in Nairobi, a number of churches. By the time we met with them, they had told me there were 40 branches surrounding Nairobi cosmopolitan area that have accepted to be with them in the separation movement. But as we talk now, probably there are many. I'm yet to find out when I visit them by 2nd of September when they are holding their camp meeting. They have once again invited me for a speaking engagement. And also others will come in. I don't know whether they will have some funds to fishing, because we have had some people from Nigeria, Rwanda, and elsewhere. And that when they come in, we now put up issues that are leading us into a great movement of God's remnant people. It's my kind request that you continue to stretch our hands, your hands, to support us in this, so that this book can be established. A lot more need to be learned and also unlearned, that this people can stand by the word of God. So our session started today, and when I go there in September 2nd, that's when the camp starts, I plan to extend another request that they may accord us another time, that either Sister Rose or Bob can have some wonderful topics prepared for them, so that they can now comprehend not only a mere separation because people are misusing money in church, but for a real grounded doctrine that will mold them into God's characters. So I thank God that He has given us some light for them that we are able to send to them. It's unfortunate that the enemy is working so hard that he fails us. But by the time we had started our separation in 2000, early, when we used to have many prints, you would be having a great task to supply around Nairobi. But now, I only managed to do a small quantity of major booklets for ministers. Then we would love to have prints of tracts so that they are given out in the suburbs of Nairobi and also outskirts where people are many, and in a number of ways, some of the presidents I know, like Gerard, whom we coordinate with this program, has gone worldwide down inside there, Masailand, and I've seen him with Ghana, and that would need to work with different topics to be learned. So it's my kind of prayer that you continue praying for us, continue supporting us, that probably everything will go by God's grace and His will. Thank you. That's what I wanted to update you with. In as much as there is a pending journey to South Sudan where war is still imminent and high, but I have some contacts that have invited me, and I've put that one at the heart for one reason, that I haven't got their passport, their ID. It's not like in Kenya where I go freely. In South Sudan, there is a challenge that people are still barbaric and the war is still tense, and that we only need to pray that in as much as there are people who ideally demand our message, but we need to look at the situation we are entering in. So, physically, as a human being, I have some small fears, but I pray that the Lord removes those fears and opens a good way that I may move first to South Sudan. I have a church I've contacted, and they are inviting me and they're welcoming me there. But still, we need also to take our princes there. That's why we see that in Africa, printer is still very important, because very many people have hearsay message. We want them to read for themselves. But in hearsay message, a lot of lies are told. But now when we have proof from the printed matter and materials, then they can read for themselves. So we pray for some continued support that we may be able to reach where we cannot manage to do physically. Thank you so much, Ed Bob. Because all the praise go to the Lord through you, that you've made us what we are, and we can now talk to different communities, regions, places, and that may the good Lord bless you and continue sustaining our website, where we go to download a lot of materials. Sometimes even if we don't tell you, but we pick there a lot of materials. We expound on them and then use the local language to give it out. God bless you. Thank you for standing with us.
No, praise God for making it all possible. We would not be able to know His present truth without Him smiling upon us and sending the Spirit to open our understanding and comprehension to His word. So God gets all the glory. And praise God, dear brother, that the two conferences that separated from the Adventist General Conference there and have split away and is following the present truth, that is fantastic, dear brother. And all the local churches connected with those two conferences there in Kenya, that's quite amazing. And I'm so happy to hear that your meeting went well there on Zoom, and there were many attendants able to come into contact with the truth that was shared by our dear brother Jim or the Markwells. I'm not quite sure which. But praise God for enabling another avenue in evangelistic witnessing through Zoom to occur. We'll definitely be keeping all things in our prayers.
I thought of a song, but I don't know if you have it listed. It's really an old one. But it's, that's why I love Him. It goes, Jesus has promised my shepherd to be. That's why I love him so. And to the children he said, come to me. That's why I love him so. That's why I love him. That's why I love him. Because he first loved me. When I am tempted, oh, let's see. When I am tempted and trying, oh, you know what? I'm looking at the notes, but I can't remember that part. Oh, let's see. When I am tempted and trying, he is close by my side, you see. I've got that whole bunch blocked out, but the words are pretty nice. How about in the heart of Jesus, there is love for you? Do you know that one?
No, but
oh.
Thank you for singing the other one. I was able to find it online, and when I clicked on it to share in the room, it brought up a big old donation page, and it wouldn't let me get rid of the donation page unless I would click I have already donated, but of course I haven't.
Oh my goodness. Well, maybe you'll remember this. In the heart of Jesus, there is love for you. Love most pure and tender. Love most deep and true. Why should you be lonely? For friendship's sake. When the heart of Jesus has a full supply. This hymn book is so old, it smells musty. But it still has these beautiful songs in it. Do you know this one? Okay.
Yeah, amen. In the mind of Jesus, there is thought for you. Warm as summer sunshine, sweet as morning dew. Why should you be fearful? Why take anxious thought? Since the mind of Jesus cares for those he bought.
In the field of Jesus, there is work for you, such as even angels might rejoice to do. Why stand idly sighing for some life grand? While the field of Jesus seeks your weeping hand.
in the Church of Jesus, there's a place for you. Glorious, bright, and joyous, bright and peaceful too. Why then, like a wanderer, roam with weary pace, if the Church of Jesus holds for you a place?
Amen. Beautiful words.
Amen. Thank you for that request, or sister, two requests, actually, and for singing both of them. That's wonderful. Dear ones, are there any other testimonies or songs of praise or thoughts that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Well, I just ran across another song that I remember when I was a child. Even though this book smells musty, it's got some beautiful songs in it. This song is called Then Jesus Came. It goes, one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. My voice is giving out. I better stop.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, dear sister. The tune's a bit too tricky for me to remember. So but thank you for singing at least one verse.
Well, let me read the other words to you because they're equally as beautiful. So it goes, from home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Unclean, unclean, the leopard cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood near. The fever raged. Disease had crippled. It had gripped its victim. Then Jesus came and cast out every fear. No men today have found a Savior able. Oh, so men today have found a Savior able. They could not conquer passion, just and sin, lust and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. That was written by Oswald J. Smith and Homer Rodenhaver or something like that. In 1940, it was copyrighted.
Amen. And thanks for sharing, dear sister. Beautiful words. Well, this hymn came to mind, especially with what we've been dealing with in these last days and with what we've been dealing with here with the website still down over the past month and a half. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever may betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock, in a weary path, cooling shade on the burning faithful God, for the pilgrim path, a shelter in the time of storm.
The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Mighty rock in a weary land, cooling shade on the burning sand. Faithful guide for the pilgrim band, a shelter in the time of storm.
O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our help ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Cooling shade on the burning faithful shelter in the time of storm. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Faithful is he. And we can come to him and find shelter, find a hiding place, find a mighty fortress every single time. Don't have to fear. We can be hid in him and safe from everything. Even troublous times dealing with the website. Oh, praise God for his grace and strength. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share, last testimonies that you'd like to give, songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free.
Well, there's one more song. We have an anchor. So the question is, will our anchor hold in the storm of life? And are we not going through the storm of life now with the internet? When this song was written, there was no internet. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempest rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark overflow. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in Savior's love.
It will surely hold in the floods of death. When the water's cold, chill our latest breath. On the rising tide, it can never fail. While our hopes abide within the veil, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
When our eyes behold in the dawning light shining gates of pearl our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you being that firm rock, dear Savior, that cannot be moved. May we indeed cast our anchor upon you and never release it. Well, dear one, thank you for, thank you for being part of our service tonight. And let us now go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free. And I'll start us off. So let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you that all things obey thy will, and even fallen humanity will obey your will. Some it will be too late, but many others, their obedience through Jesus and his divine grace and strength will entitle them to be able to have heaven and eternity as their reward of faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for making this all possible through this great and glorious plan of salvation. And thank you for your miracle-working power upon our hearts, that indeed we can say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. We can say no to sin and yes to your commandments. And you grant us the divine power to make it so. All because of your love for us and our loving obedience to you. We pray that you will continue to work in our lives, continue to arrange circumstances to fit your perfect will, to bring deliverance and freedom from different barriers and roadblocks and frustrating circumstances, to show that you are indeed in control and that you have a care for our welfare and for your great work. Thank you also for being a God who hears and answers prayer, and for manifesting your love for us in so many ways. Pray that you'll be with those who are unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful remaining week and bring them into fellowship soon. Let the internet and other areas work perfectly, that there will be no hindrances and no barriers that keep them away from fellowship with us. And thank you so very much for this wonderful fellowship, this chat room, this ability to meet brothers and sisters from all over the world and to hear how you have been working in their lives and to bring an edification to each one of us and us to them as well. Pray that you will continue to greatly multiply the evangelistic efforts put forth to seek and to save the lost, and help them to recognize that the truth is indeed a precious treasure, something to cherish, something to hold on to. And even though the internet and published works can be so easily obtained, help us to recognize that these may not always be able to be obtained. And so forgive us for taking these things for granted, and help us to recognize the great privilege in having these sources so readily available for us to read and to study, and help us to copy them and to make them part of our own library, that we may be able to have them in our possession when the internet may go down, or when the messengers that have the materials are no longer able to give us these printed sources. And thank you, Savior, for being the truth. We pray that you will be with us as we part. Help us to have a good night's sleep, and those on the other side of the world, a new day dawning. And thank you for being in control when we allow you to. And help us always to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we have the power of choice, no matter where we are, and that between heaven and earth, there is something better than the internet, and that's your promise that you hear every single prayer that is prayed, and you can even know the thoughts of the hearts if the people can't say anything. You can read our hearts. Thank you, dear Lord, for that ability and for caring that much for us, that you're tuned into every single one of us. And you stay tuned in, even though we wander away at times. You're the rock, the solid rock that our anchor clings to. Thank you, dear Lord, for these beautiful promises and the beautiful love that you give to each one of us, and the promise of a much better life. Help us to always cling to you, because that is truth, that is sure, that will never fail. Thank you, dear Lord. Be with those who couldn't be here. Help the way to be opened, so next week or whenever your plan deems it best, we will once again be an internet family. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, dear ones, and again, thank you for a nice Wednesday evening fellowship. Thank you for your comments, your testimonies, your thoughts, your singing. And again, the next two Wednesdays, we will not be having church service here. We're still going to have church service Fridays and Sabbaths, but the next two Wednesdays, my daughter and I are going to be tied up and will not be able to open up the home church. So we're going to be traveling or in an area that we're not going to be able to get the website up. I'm going to be heading down to Oregon, or up to Oregon, back home to Oregon. and I won't be able to have the computer equipment set up for home church on Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday, my daughter and I are going to be out of area, and we won't be able to have the home church up. But again, on Friday and on Sabbath, the home church is going to be up. It's going to take place. So just these next two Wednesdays, the Wednesday meeting, midweek church service meeting is canceled. But then after that, it should be back up. Lord willing, because there's a lot of uncertainties coming with moving Sister Joan, moving Mom to Oregon. And so we may have some other Wednesdays when that can't occur. But we'll take it a week at a time and see how it goes. Thank you so much for your prayers, for your thoughts, for your support. And until we meet again, dear ones, keep looking up. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail you, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. Big hugs, one and all. Get the butterfly hugs in there for the guys. And God bless.